He says in verse 9, the ultimate end of it will be that they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. See, we're all the way into the millennial kingdom now. He says, I'm going to deliver them out of that great day. I'm going to deliver them out of the day of Jacob's trouble. You know, Jacob. Jacob's trouble. Ephraim's name is going to be thrown in here. Verse 2 or 1 where he says Israel. He's talking about the whole kingdom, the whole group. God will not lose one. We are all here. Not one is lost. That's what's going to be the word at the end. You know, in this room, those of us who know Jesus. One day we're going to go through like a pilgrim, and I think it was Faithful who journeyed with him through the last stage, through that river, and it was Christian who felt like he was going down. He thought he was done. He says, you go on ahead. You've got more grist for the mill. I have no purchase. There's no footing down here for me. I'm going down. And you may feel that way. But thanks be unto God that when it comes down to it, it was never about you anyway. So you can just rest on that when the lights seem to go out. Don't ever forget that, because that's your light. That's the glimmer. That's the beam. When death comes to your door and it looks pretty scary, and it's going to look scary, beloved, it's going to look scary for every one of us, because everything you've ever done that you shouldn't have done, everything you've ever thought you shouldn't have thought, every failure and every weakness you're going to be reminded of, because the devil will see to it. But thanks be unto God, if you're walking with Him, I dare say He'll shred His wings around you with His grace if you're walking with Him. If you've been drifting, no guarantees, because sometimes He just pulls back and lets you kind of have some of that fear. But on the other side, not one is lost. He says it's coming down to it. And these guys are going to be saved. They will serve the Lord in that day. And they're going to serve David. I love this. You might underline that or circle it or put a little star by it. David's getting raised up in the millennial kingdom. He's going to reign in Israel, it seems. Some would like to say this is David's offshoot. And some study Bibles or some commentaries may say, well, this isn't David. I think it says David, and it says David in other places. So I'm going to go with David, okay? That's just where I'm going to land. I think the Bible's not unclear. I think if he wanted to say the root of David's going to reign, I think it would have said that. But what I believe the Bible teaches is that there's going to be a co-regency. Jesus and David. And I also think Zerubbabel's going to be there, and all these kings that were good, Solomon, they're going to be hanging around. But David's going to be the primary. And it's going to be pretty neat, because guess what? We're going to see it with our own two eyes. It's going to be an awesome time. Now, I tell you what, if it was all going to be just like it is now, it would be kind of hot and muggy and gross, but it's not. Jesus is going to make a perfect world. He's going to put it all back to Edenic conditions. Guess what? He's going to put everlasting joy on our brow. And even the most basic of joys are going to be so delightful, you'll just about want to pop. It's going to be a great time. That's what He's got in mind for us. Isn't that awesome? And what we're looking at here is, he says, David's going to be there, and those people aren't going to have any misgivings about serving the Lord themselves. That's what they're going to want to do. And he's talking about the whole host of Israel and all the whole host of Judah. The Bible says in verse 10, therefore, fear thou not. Hard thing to say. Hard thing to say with the booming of the battering rams. Hard thing to say with the fact that you're in jail. And you're the only guy in the room who's got a clue. It seems hard to say, but what's he doing? He's writing. He's writing. Remember? And he's writing for days that are coming, when they're coming back from their captivity. He will bring again the captivity, and then ultimately it's going to be something that will always also transfer down through history to the time when Jesus comes. And the Bible says in verse 10, fear thou not, O my servant, again, Jacob, not Judah. He's talking about the whole group. And he says, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar. I love that. He says it again, I will save thee. He says it in verse 7, I will save thee. He says, you'll be saved out of it. He says, I will save thee in verse 10. And he says it again in a moment in verse 11. He says, for I am with thee to save thee. All the way through history, God was with them. Even though they may have felt like He was far away, the very fact that they are a people today is testimony that He was with them. Even though it looked like all was lost and everything had gone south and that they had not a clue, and even when Christians in the Crusades maybe tried to persecute Jews because they didn't believe in Jesus, tried to name them as Jesus murderers or whatever, the fact of the matter is God somehow enveloped them as a people. He saved out of them a remnant and spared them and created an intense desire to stay unique. Now, understand that, because if there's one vestige of Israel, it's that they've always really, something has animated their efforts to marry amongst their own, you know, as a Jewish people and keep their heritage alive. That's pretty huge, considering it's been 2,000 years of darkness, and yet they're still here. Now, I don't know if you can get a grip on this verse, but the Bible says it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Did you know that? And you know it's God who's at work in us when we say, I'm going to read my Bible, when I'm going to pray, when He says to us, go to church, when He says, turn on the Christian radio, when He says, do your devotions, when He says, whatever He says, talk to somebody. God is at work in you because He sees the whole picture. And for them, an intense desire in people amongst their own, even ungodly ones, people who didn't even believe in Judaism, marrying among their own. And keeping their line distinguishable among the nations. What people has such a heritage? One time there was a king who actually demanded a proof that there was a God. And one of his counselors stood up and said, the Jews. It's a proof. And there it is. I was walking with Linda the other day in the rain. We were walking in the rain. Doesn't that sound romantic? Well, it was funny because as it was raining, all I could think of was these little bugs that were jumping, trying to get out of the rain. And I thought, there's another evidence of God, the banana principle that fits in your hand, right? Not only fits in your hand, but tilts toward your face. You know, it's like for you. Well, that's the banana. But wait a minute. What about the little bug? What happens there? When it rains, it's like a big bathtub pouring on them. If God had made this world not for us, we might be getting hit with a bathtub full of water every time it rained. But it's just little stuff, because God made this world for us. Proof of God is everywhere, if men would but open their eyes and see it. The Jews are part of that proof. Verse 11 says, for I am with thee to save thee. Verse 12, for thus says the Lord, thy bruise is incurable. Ouch, there's a hard word. He turns the corner. But corrections have to be made. That's the point of this chapter. He's told them, I am with thee to save thee, I will save thee, I will save thee. But we also notice He catapulted to the end of time. The very fact that they're even going to be around is a blessing. It is what Jeremiah points out in Lamentations 3 when he says it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You know what they did? They burned babies in the temple of Almighty God. They put the Molech worship right there, right in His face. Unspeakable pornographic drawings on the walls inside the temple. This was going on, and the priests were looking at it and saying, this is fine, no problem, this is what we do. Oh yeah, yeah, bless you, Jehovah bless you. But they were all doing it, meaning not Jehovah God, but the Jehovah like the golden calf, only worse, see. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. And the fact that He says they will be saved, they will be saved, they will be saved, answers to Romans 11, they will be saved. But right now there's got some corrections need to be done. And in verse 4 or verse 12 He says, your bruise is incurable, your wound is grievous, there is none to plead your cause. That thou mayest be bound up, thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not. For I have wounded thee. I have wounded thee. I have wounded thee. With a wound of an enemy, with the chastisements of a cruel one, He used wicked people to be His battle axe, and it would come down very harshly on them. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, verse 14. He's going to use that concept of sins increased again in verse 15, but look at verse 15 first. He says, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy soul sorrow is incurable. What He's saying is, you're right now on the cusp of what's going on. He says, I want you to know you are not going to get out of this. It's going to come down on you now. This is what's going to happen. The Babylonians are going to come. Many of you are going to say, I don't ever listen to God. I really don't know what he said anyway. So, you know, I just figure I'll do what comes naturally. What comes naturally? Fight back. What are you going to do when you fight back? You're going to get chopped and hacked. Your family's going to get chopped and hacked. Your life is going to be ending. Because you're going to do what comes naturally rather than what I've told you to do. And what I've told you to do is submit yourself to that Babylonian king. That's what I've told you to do. But if you weren't listening, he said you didn't know what to do. This is why it's very important for us to read our Bibles every day, because we need to know what God wants us to do. And he knows what's right around the corner. He will direct you into what you need to know. But he's telling them that he has brought a wound upon them, and the reason is because their sins were increased in verse 15. Their sins were increased in verse 14. That's why they had to be dealt with. God is not complicit with our sin. He sees it, he knows it, he understands it, and he is very, very much aware of what needs to be done to deal with it. He says in verse 16, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. Now, very important at this text right here. Verse 15, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. That sounds good. We all say, wow, yeah, get them. They're going to be getting on me. They need to get theirs back. The problem is at this point in the game, what we're seeing throughout Jeremiah and Isaiah and many of the prophets of the exile is that everything is convoluted. These people are not supposed to be being destroyed and devoured. These people are supposed to be being witnessed to.